reading is dope.
Some books are for knowledge and some you read for entertainment. The same with blogs and magazines. Each word gets you higher and fills you with hope. You're now tuned into the podcast.
Reading is dope.
You're tuned in to the Reading is Dope podcast right here on WGBR. Gilla Boys Radio.
Reading is dope.
This right here is episode 4. I hope you enjoyed the previous 3 episodes. But guess what? We back at you with more.
Reading is dope.
On this episode, I interviewed a cat whom I go way back with.
Reading is dope.
This cat has written 10 books. Published 10 books, I should say. And he's still working on more.
Reading is dope.
In this episode, he dropped some real gems. Talked about the challenges and also opportunities that came in his life.
Reading is dope.
So I want to introduce to you Mr. Asia LeGrand Blunt.
This is Gilla Boys Radio.
How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Oh, man, I can't even complain. Just trying to keep my head above water, keep making moves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hey, this is a good time to keep your head above water.
Right.
There's a bunch of them sinking out here.
Man, I was reading somewhere where like 45% of black businesses went out of business due to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So
ain't nobody coming.
Exactly. So I mean,
they ain't spending their money. Well, they spend them. They just not spending with their own community.
Right. You know.
So that's the difference. You know. I mean, you know, I'm by me being a barber. It didn't really affect me.
Right.
So they don't really care. They want a haircut. They don't care what the conditions of the world is. they want a haircut. They going to get that haircut regardless. They don't do nothing but go sit on somebody else's couch for the weekend and get drunk. they want to be fly doing it, though.
They want to look good while they sitting on the couch.
Yeah, right. So that's just how they going. Hey, that's one thing I learned. I have a recession-proof day job.
There you go. So how long have you been an author?
I started writing seriously in 2013.
Okay.
It was easier for me to write, I guess, then as opposed to now because of the situation I was in.
Okay.
So I decided, I think then we was working part-time and I was working in the factory.
Okay.
Like half a day. I spend the other half of the day in the library. You know, I might go back in the afternoon or in the evening. I was writing probably at least 2 chapters a day. I was writing rough drafts within 30 days. At that time, in the beginning, I slowed down over the years because I was starting to get headaches. I was thinking so much.
Right.
But even when I slowed down, it's like I had to still do it every day. So if I didn't do them to write 1 chapter a day, I was good. So there wasn't no lasting time. And me having to go back and reread what I wrote to try to continue it. So it was like I was still always living in the moment, always had outlines anyway. So okay. They kept me in line.
Right.
So even when I'm writing based off the outline and then become a curveball,
mm-hmm.
I just jot that part down. So when I go to continue the outline, I can throw that in there so I won't be just always thrown off like, damn, what the hell just happened?
right.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you kind of had a set schedule of when you would write?
Yeah. It was based off the setup of, you know, the institution. So you got the morning, like when I was at, it depends on where I was at too. When I was at Greenville, I had to go to work.
Okay.
From 7:30 to lunchtime. So then they had a regulated move at 1:30. So I would go to the library. The library wouldn't open till 11:30 for the compound.
Okay.
So I would go to the library at 1:30, sit there and write a chapter. 3:30, we go back in. At 4:30, no later than 5, I'm back in the library to 8:30. Okay. So I pretty much did that every day. That was my every on Saturday, because it was closed on Sunday. On Saturday, I go in the morning at probably like 8:30 and stay until lunch, then come back after lunch and stay to 3:30.
Okay.
So when I took it serious, I was on it. That's every day. This is what I had to do. Oh. And I was even cutting hair to the end, but I only cut hair like Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So that, and that'd be in the evening time.
Okay.
But other than that, I was in the library. When I found out that I love to do it and it was something that I could do and it was coming to me so quick, that's what I focused on. And it just worked out like that.
Okay. So what inspired you to start writing?
Well, actually, it was monetary value initially.
Okay. Okay.
Because you had publishers like Terry Woods, Triple Crown. They was buying books from dudes in the joint for $10,000.
Okay.
So, dude, I don't know if you ever heard of the book Dutch by Terry Woods.
Mm-mm.
But a gentleman that was in the feds wrote them books.
Okay.
And she paid him $10,000 for the first two. She wanted him to write the third one for 10. He said he wanted more money. Right. She wouldn't give him no more money. So it ended up being two versions of the third book. Somebody she knew wrote the one she published under her name, and then he published one under his own name. But yeah, you have a lot of situations where you have these people out here buying books from, like James Patterson buy books and put his name on it or revise it under his writing style. And that's how you can put so many books out.
So it's kind of like ghostwriting.
Right. No, you got a lot of people I can't say all his books. You know, he always have a co-author with most of his books anyway.
Right.
But you have a lot of scenarios where you have people that's out here with these publishing companies buying books from guys in the penitentiary and putting them out.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's where the initial interest came from. I had stopped reading fiction, period.
Okay.
I had read so many hood books. I'm like, well, I'm in penitentiary. I already know how this going to play out.
Right, right.
Somebody going to die, somebody going to penitentiary for the rest of their life. I say, so I don't have to keep writing. I mean, reading this. So I stopped reading. I was just reading knowledge. I mean, stuff to gain knowledge. You know?
Right.
But everybody used to ask me, you read this, you read this? I'm like, nah, man, I can write that. I said, that's what all y'all want to write. I can write my life, and y'all would be just as interested in that as you is in this. So when I was in the library one day, I was actually probably on the computer looking up some legal stuff, but one guy was bringing back another guy's book, his rough draft that he had read. He's like, oh, yeah, man, it's cool. It's nice. So what you gonna do with it? He's like, I'm finna try to sell it to Terry Woods for $10,000. So that caught my interest. Like, man, you finna a rough draft for $10,000? So I'm like, yeah. So I didn't say nothing to him about it that day, but I ended up running to him in line at the child hall, and I was like, man, what happened with that book? You get people to check it out? He was like, no, not yet. She ain't responded. Why he the clerk? That's another one.
Okay.
Like, nah, but I got somebody that got me in line with being there to talk to Wahida Clark. So I was like, okay, they write a pretty good book. Like, man, that's when he was like, man, they buy most of the book. But I mean, you know, it is what it is. They take advantage of the ones they can.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Why not? I mean, because they look at it like, well, you're not going to really be able to get the opportunity to put it out because you in there.
True.
And then if you are signed by a publishing company, you only going to get 10% of the royalties.
True.
So especially when I read the book on how to start your own publishing company, I said, I'm definitely not just going to be signing all my rights and get all my money away to somebody that's going to go put it online for free. Use Kindle Direct Publishing or CreateSpace at the time, But it's free to upload. So the Amazon gonna take a 40 to 55% of the sale. So that's gonna lead the publisher to split 45 with the author.
Right.
So they gonna get 35, you gonna get 10%. So you ain't finna get nothing but like 97 cents if it's a $15 book.
That's crazy.
As opposed to getting out of 45%, then we're gonna leave it at 50. So let's say 750. Is that 50%? Amazon get 50. Okay, the public gonna get, so you're gonna get 10% or 50, so they're gonna get 40. You're gonna end up getting, let's say, $1.30.
So pretty much 10% of 15? Of
$15? No, you're getting 10% of, no. Okay, let's say Amazon gonna get 50% off the top.
Okay, so now that leaves 750.
So that's gonna leave 750. So you're gonna get, basically, yeah, you're gonna get 75 cents.
So you getting 10% of what's left after of Amazon. What's left.
Right.
Wow. And the publishing company, right, taking the 90%?
The rest. Right.
That's crazy. So yeah, you better off owning your own publishing.
Right. I mean, even then, you don't even have to even really start no publishing imprint unless you plan on publishing other authors.
Right.
But no, that ain't really no set goal. I did it under the pretense because, you know, people kind of, you never know when people might get mad at you for whatever reason that you have no control over and try, right, to sue you. So you want to have that barrier. You want to have something that's going to separate you personally from whatever you're doing business-wise.
Right. Okay, I get that. So you started your own publishing company?
Yeah.
What's the name of your publishing company?
Agent LeGrand Presents.
Oh, okay. What are your plans with that?
Currently, I'm finna revamp it. So I've been going through all my books and revising, proofreading, because I want to end up getting them in audio as audio books.
Okay.
Then at the same time, I'm gonna end up, whether I do a web series or whatever I do visually, I want them to be, you know, like you basically go get the book. Oh, this movie or this web series is based on the book. You go get the book I wanted to, you know, rewrite. So, but that's what I've been doing pretty much through this pandemic is going back and revising and proofreading to make sure that they're up to speed, especially for when I do the audio book. But as in this age, I mean, when I came home, I tried to do the website because I thought everybody was going to buy the books from me. But when I came out, I figured out that most people don't read paperbacks for real. They read ebooks, mm-hmm, whether on their phone, tablet, wherever they read it at. So I was kind of behind the curve a little bit when coming home because I was so used to just seeing paperback.
Right.
You can't read an ebook in the penitentiary, so everybody had needed the book. Right. So I thought, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, really, I came home and created a website that actually I didn't really need, per se. Because the number is too small of a number of people that's just ordering paperback. There's so many people. I mean, I met a lot of them at book expos I went to last year. And they was like, well, my house ain't even big enough for all the books I read.
Right, right.
So I can't read nothing. I can't read nothing but an ebook. You know what I'm saying? And they buying, you know, the ebook. You get an ebook for $2.99, 99 cents, $1.99, however much it costs. You know, right. I know. Some people charge up to $10 for an ebook because that's all they got. They're not even selling paperback. But it's a big disparity between people reading ebooks and people reading paperback.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that because you know me, I collect a lot of CDs over the years. Yeah. I've accumulated a lot. So mm-hmm. I got like a whole big old corner back here in my studio where I just got nothing but music. And you know, and I buy music all the time, but even though I like CDs better, I realize that I don't have enough room for all the music that I buy. So
right.
It comes in handy to buy MP3. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
I can get that. I can definitely understand that part. So you talked about your website. Do you still have your website?
It's still, well, actually, I still have the website. I just recently didn't pay for the
hosting,
my premium subscription with Wix.
Okay.
Well, actually, that wouldn't have been on me initially because it would have been automatically paid. But the bank account that I had with the bank that I was using,
okay,
yeah, somebody bought them out or something like that. So everything just didn't switch over.
Right.
So I had to like reactivate another debit card and all this other stuff. So by the time my mama gave it to me, I was already getting the emails that the payment didn't go through. But I was like, I'm already in the process of revamping, so I don't really know if I need to be paying it anyway.
Right.
So actually all this time they've been getting free money because I've been paying it and I ain't been using it, period.
Right.
I
can get that. I mean, ideally I would keep the website because at the end of the day, your website is like your storefront, especially online. You know what I'm saying? People come to your website for everything, Asia LeGrand Blunt, you know what I'm saying? And I would say use it to post videos, like maybe even do a reading, like read a chapter of your book or have somebody else read a chapter of your book. Like if nothing else, you can post videos of you cutting hair. You can kind of incorporate that into the website, the website can be not just for books, but it can be for the barbershop as well. You see what I'm saying? It could be like a one-stop shop.
Yeah. You can definitely work on that.
Just an idea, something to think about. So how many books have you written already?
Written that's on paper?
That's published or whatever.
Oh, that's published?
Yeah.
Or 10?
10?
Published. Yeah, I got 10 published. I recently just took 3 of them down.
Which ones?
The multiple series.
Oh man, that's the one. I got the first of the multiple. I need to get the last two because I love the multiple books.
I mean, well, actually, I took them down as ebooks. They still up as paperback.
Paperback.
That's the next series I'm going to re-edit and proofread again. I just did the Death of a Boy series. But yeah, I'm going to go back through and re-edit it, proofread it again. So I'm going to eventually put all of them as an audio book.
Right.
Well, Multiple was the very first book I wrote.
It was the very first one?
Yeah, that was the very first book I wrote.
So did you ever get a chance to submit it to those publishers that you were talking about?
No, I didn't. I went another route. I actually went a route to where I paid a publishing company. Well, I prayed a printing service to basically publish a book. But it was quote-unquote a publishing company, but it was, come to find, it was a shaky deal.
Okay.
Because the objective from them was for you to continue to buy some type of service before your book was published.
So they wanted to get in your pockets first.
Right. So it became bigger than just publishing the book.
Right.
So I was like, well, so there ain't no way. When it boiled down to when I got out, I ended up seeing the document that was sent to them. Mm-hmm. And it was nowhere near what they actually put in the book. Like, they give you so many free errors that they'll change for you and stuff like that. It was like an insurmountable number of errors that I know. For one, if a person typed it how I typed it on the paper, you wouldn't even have 10 errors. I mean, the errors might be a little different because then my writing style was different.
Okay.
But how they kept sending it to me and was like, you have all these errors, you need to fix them and this. I'm like, well, for 50 errors after the first 100 is free is $25, and here it is, you got 300 errors. No, fuck no.
Oh, they was trying to tax you.
Right. So that's what it ultimately ended up being. Basically, to me, what they call a a good old Ponzi scheme.
Sounds like it was something.
Right. So, you know, I had them published how it was. I signed off on it with all the errors they had in it, everything. I knew when I came home, I was just going to redo it. My auntie kind of rushed me into that because I wasn't going to do it. That wasn't my plan. My plan was to always use CreateSpace, which was is free.
Right.
The only thing you got to do is pay for, you know, whatever cover you're going to put on it or whatever. And I had dudes that was in the joint that would have drew up a cover for me. I just had to have somebody that with a graphic experience to convert it.
Right.
I mean, so she went ahead and jumped out there and paid a deposit on it or paid the first payment. So it kind of, well, this is what we're doing. So, all right, whatever. So I ended up sending the rest of the money. But, like, you know, that was my first learning experience. I already knew I didn't want to go the publishing route. We're trying to get signed. I'm basically, you know, not getting no money for my work as opposed to, all right, well, I'm going to pay you to do it, and then I'm supposed to get all my money because I paid you to do this, so you don't get anything off the back end.
Right.
So, okay, all right, well, all right, okay, I could do that, but I still didn't end up satisfied with the outcome of the book. Which, I mean, I guess in the end was a good thing because I ended up having to redo it. When I got out, I put a new cover on before, well, before I got out, I ended up having some covers made, which is the cover that's on there.
The blue one?
Yeah, the blue one.
Okay.
But, I mean, hey, you know, it's all a learning. I'm still learning today it, you know.
That's life. Gotta keep learning.
Yeah, I just don't. My biggest thing is I don't have enough time. I can go on Facebook for probably 10 minutes and I'm see all these people that posted their books. They posting all these whatever, so the synopsis. They had all these events. I'm like, man, I don't have time to even post book one time. I paid this lady to do promotion for me. She's very good. She do it 3 times a day, whoever.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, I don't even know the last time I checked my KDP account. See who read a book, who ain't read a book.
Okay.
But
you're staying busy.
Right, but I got my hands, I'm going to say too many things at one time, but I'm finna kind of dividend that up so I can get the most important stuff out the way first.
Reading is dope.
You can get your Dilla Gear apparel at Chantinique Music and Sportswear in Detroit on Harper. The address is 8933 Harper and the telephone number is 313-923-3040. Shout out to you.
Yo, we got the style that makes them wild when you come through. Gilla Gear, we in here, we the ones who. So get the unique when we speak upon these ones and twos. Heat in the streets with these beats and we got clothes too. It's a style that makes them wild when you come through. Gilla Gear, we in here, we the ones who. So get the unique when we speak upon these ones and twos. Heat in the streets with these beats and we got clothes too.
This is Gilla Boys Radio.
So, have you looked into creating audiobooks yet?
Yeah. So I did. That's what made me have to go back and make sure that they read correctly.
Right.
Because I have to interview several different people.
Right.
To, you know, see if I like their voice. And, I mean, you don't just load it up and a computer do it. As a real person is supposed to be reading your book.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to go through that process. So I briefly started the process to see what all I was going to have to do. But I was like, yeah, let me make sure that it's as airtight as possible.
Right.
So when I find the right voice I want or I find the right person, that, you know, when they read it, they ain't hitting me back like, hey, man, this is a little blotchy here.
Right. So did you go through ACX?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I created an account with ACX as well because I actually plan on like producing audiobooks.
Okay.
Yeah. So what is one question that you're surprised no one has ever asked you or that you wish someone would ask you?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You
know, I always stump people with that one. They're like, what?
Right. I mean, you know, I've been in a couple of different worlds throughout my life, so I kind of get, you know, all of the same questions. The ones I do find unusual is one when they ask me how much money I'm making.
They start counting your money.
Right, like, you know, how much money you making from them books? How them books doing?
Right, right.
How many books you selling?
Yeah, see, those are the people you got to be suspect about. Like,
right.
Why are you asking me that, first of all?
Right. You didn't care how many heads I cut yesterday.
I mean,
why are you worried about how many books I sold?
That's probably an easier way to count your money.
Right. Like, a lot of questions I get from readers pertain to, especially when they jump in my inbox trying to figure out, want me to tell them what's going to happen in the next book.
Right, right.
Please tell me you did this. Please tell me you didn't do this. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, lady. But I don't know. I'm a free-going person. I don't really take anything personal as far as what people want to know, but I haven't had really nothing unusual that probably I wouldn't think was unusual. It might be unusual to somebody else.
Right.
So I don't know.
Do you ever get any, like, ideas from fans on how to proceed with a character or with your book? And, like, have you ever implemented the idea that you got from a fan or something like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because you have to realize that I came home with all these books written already.
Okay.
So, I mean, the people that I had let read there, they was just, you know, it was even by it just being a rough draft, it was still one, they'll say it's still one of the best books they ever read.
Right.
You know, it's just all a matter of getting out here and being able to, you know, put it in publication.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's easy to publish a book now. It's just getting people to read it.
That's the thing.
Right. I mean, it's easy. I mean, anybody can publish a book, but to get somebody to actually read it, leave a review, and all this other good stuff, that's what takes all the hard work.
Yeah, because nowadays people don't want to read.
Right.
And see,
so, you know, you got to find the right circles. When I first got out, I had the Facebook page where I had all these people I knew and all the people from surrounding neighborhoods. And if you weren't talking about going to the bar, getting drunk, inviting them over for some food, they wasn't caring about no book.
Right, they wasn't trying to hit none of that.
I had my first book event in the hood. Like, I'm just, you know, like, wow, okay, I invited all these people. Y'all stay right around the corner. You telling me you couldn't come right around the corner?
Just to show say support? Hi.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I mean, a lot of people did. They did come, but, you know, they wasn't readers. They only came to support me because I'm from the hood and I did this.
Right, right. I can get that. And see,
you know what I'm saying?
That's kind of the whole essence of the Reading Is Dope movement. I'm trying to create some excitement around it, around reading. I mean, if nothing else, pick up a magazine, read an article, a blog post.
Right.
But yeah, that's the whole idea of the whole Reading Is Dope thing. So hopefully, you know, having different authors talk about, you know, what inspires them, what inspires you guys, and, you know, what kind of issues you may face writing, it might make people a little more excited about the reading process.
Right.
To kind of get an idea of what y'all go through to bring a book to them.
Right.
Hopefully people appreciate it a little more. So of everything you've accomplished, what means the most to you and why?
Everything I accomplished as far as what, in writing?
Yeah.
Or in life, period?
I mean, we could say in life, period.
Well, in writing, it's going to focus on know, being able to give a reader something substantial to digest. It's just not entertainment, though.
Okay.
So, in a sense, as a reader, they reading it for entertainment. But in the end, it all depends on how you pick up certain things in life. That's the seeds that's been planted within you, and you right. can pick them up, or you can either water them or yank. Like, my books are just not in time giving you something. You may not know that. Well, you won't know that until you really start reading, or you can pick up on it. A lot of people ain't going to pick up on it because they not, I guess you could say, in that mental realm. But
right.
like you read Multiples. Right. Multiples is based off the law of cause and effect.
Right. Okay, I can see
so, that. That's the basic principle of Multiple, the law of cause and effect.
Is that kind of what went into the title Multiples?
Yeah.
Like, kind of like multiple events or everything multiplies. Like, you do one thing, like this act is going to multiply into like a bigger effect type of deal.
Well, it's multiples because you have multiple things going on. And that's me as a writer. I kind of figured out that I wasn't just the average writer. I'm a more complex writer.
Okay.
So that's why you can have several different storylines in the same book, but they all make sense together.
Right, right. There was multiple storylines that you had to kind of follow.
Right. But then in another instance, it's multiples because how the characters actually aren't interacting with each other, but they are actually interacting with each other.
Okay.
Well, you have characters that's interacting with one person that this other person don't know about, but that they should know about.
Kind of like the two sisters.
The two sisters, even the carrier, not the carrier, the father.
That
was given a job. How you my daddy, and you
acting like my boss.
Right, my boss. But then, you know, you come to find out that you my daddy, you her daddy, all related. So, you know, so it's multiple layers of the bullshit. So
right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, well, yeah, it's multiple shit going on here. So boom, multiple. There you go. That's the name of it.
Yeah, that's why I was like, well, when I found out that old girl was the sister of his woman, I was like, right. Damn. like this right. Shit. And then, like you said, then when I found out the father was so, I'm like, oh, wow.
Right. So
that's what kept me going, though. You know what I'm saying? So you did good with that idea.
Yes, sir. Yep. So then, trying to get back to the question. That
is about what means the most to you and why.
Right. So I get to talk about them books. I just get,
it's all I good.
I can get wrapped up real quick. I mean, you knew me back when we was in SIUE. So
right.
You talking about starting in '97? As a person, I've grown a lot, but I mean. In essence, I'm still similar.
Okay.
You know, to certain things I did then, I still talk shit. I still do all the other shit. But, you know, right. So some shit just don't change. But, to come from that, to getting kicked out, to going into another world, to actually going into another world and getting right. out. So what my accomplishments is, too. I was just talking to my cousin in Georgia about this other day. She's like, I admire you from doing, I mean, you went like, you've been up and down like the stock market. Go to college, you know, and then that fall, that crash, you do so good in the streets, then that crash, you go to Pennsylvania, then you come back out and here it is, you back on the upward swing. So you got the barbershop, you got the books, you know what I'm saying? So you in a better position. So I guess that's kind of like the most accomplishing thing that I didn't just do what most people do.
Right.
Most people go to penitentiaries and still come out and use, I can't find a job as an excuse to go back to doing what they were doing. Or, I mean, you have a small number of people that get out and actually don't mind going to work. But a lot of them educate themselves in prison prior to coming home.
Right.
That be the difference between a lot of individuals. So you have a lot of individuals that come out here and just expect something to be given to them, but you just spent the last 8 years of your life watching Sports Center and playing dominoes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, don't nobody owe you anything, but their main mentality is to where, well, I always can go back to what got me here if I can't find a job. But 9 times of 10, they're not really going to try to find no job. Exactly. They don't like, they might try to find a job to satisfy the halfway house, try to satisfy the probation officer. But other than that, they're not doing it for stability. They're not doing it to, you know, really rationalize that you can make more money in the long run with a job as opposed to selling drugs, doing whatever scheme you're doing.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to make a lot of money quick. But they and then it quicker. Might even be sporadic. It's probably going to even be sporadic because, you know, it's a little different times, I guess, with the hustling thing now. Right. But if you get up and go to work every day, you're going to make the same amount of money every day.
Consistent.
You have potential to grow. Depends on your job.
Right.
You go get multiple jobs if you want to.
There you go.
But, hey, I can explain this rationale to a room full of people that say that it's hard out here. They can't find no job. I'll say probably 65% of the people that be in their room, I say, you're not going to find no job because you got to take a piss test.
You said that's going to X those 65 out.
That's going to X the 60. If it's 100 people, it's going to automatically X the 65 out.
Damn, that's crazy.
Because they don't want to stop using whatever drug they use.
They don't want to change.
Well, most people are marijuana users, heavy marijuana users these days. That's the new drug of choice for everybody, outside of pills and lean. But you trying to shortcut, try to take pills, try to wash your mouth out with bleach and all the time. I'm like, come on, man. All you got to do, you want a job that bad, or you need a job that bad. But if you want to try to circumvent the system, try to get this job, just stop smoking and figure out how you can start back smoking once you get the job.
Yeah.
But they only gonna test you the beginning when you're trying to get the job.
Well, unless you get hurt on the job.
Right, unless you get hurt on the job. So,
and they don't want to pay you working the comp. They're gonna be like, all right, let me see if you can find some weed or something in this system. Right. Blame it on that.
So I'm like, yeah. But hey, I mean, I tell them, hey, you know, your life.
Right.
You do what you gotta do.
So it sounds like, even though your books are fiction, you like to put a little gem, some jewels in it, like a message.
Yeah. It's something. It's something that. In all of them.
And you know what, man? When you talk about how, you know, you could have came home and did the same old thing. When I found out you was writing books, I was so excited because I was proud of you just for that reason. Because most people would come home and, you know, oh, man, I've been in prison for this long and I can't do nothing. The system is against me. But you didn't have that mentality. It's like you was in there being productive. Like you had a master plan, period. And then you came out and you started executing. I was like, shit, that shit is dope. Like, for real. Now, I was proud of you, fam, for real.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Reading is dope.
Reading is a way to live out your dreams. Cause reality ain't always what it seems. Reading is a path to opportunities. It can build bridges between you and me. Reading is a way to find your purpose. Cause you know you're more than what they see on the surface. Reading is a way to seek education. It stimulates your mind and increases contemplation. That's why reading is dope.
All right, so how would you describe your writing style?
Complex.
Okay.
Most of them actually build on the same concept as Multiple Duo. How you gonna get? You're not just gonna get basically. Well, Multiple start out where you can get. You get kind of the gist of DP Winner,
right?
And then it start going into some other stuff like. Ramona. But most of them are kind of written to where you get multiple characters doing multiple things, and they all kind of, in the beginning, they may all seem like they have nothing to do with the other, but
it's all interconnected.
It plays out. It plays out differently as you keep going. Yeah, I can just one word, complex. That's basically my spot. It's definitely it. It got to the point to where I had to kind of minimize it, right?
Okay.
Because it was getting too complex, and I was having to kind of remember too much. And I'm like, well, no, I'm going to have to kind of tone this down. So I would actually stop. I had to go back and rewrite that book.
Okay. So what were some of the biggest challenges you faced during your writing career?
Headaches.
Okay.
That's about it. I mean, I didn't have no problem. I didn't really have an issue creating the content.
Right.
That came like it was second nature.
Okay.
No, I had plenty of time to write. Because I guess I was trying to overdo it. Like I was really finna write this book in 30 days and be published 2 weeks later. I ain't doing nothing but writing it and passing around the unit for people to read so they can give me their feedback.
Right.
So once I kind of acknowledged that, hey, you writing these books so fast, you act like you finna be a millionaire as soon as it's done.
But hey,
so, but other than that, it did. Because that's how I finished my last 4 years.
It made them go by faster, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's what's up. So what types of books do you read and how does it affect your writing?
Well, the books that I was reading through the beginning of my writing journey, I probably was reading like 40 Laws of Power,
okay,
33 Strategies of War, Art of Seduction.
A lot of Robert Greene.
Yeah. I was going through like a different, I told you I wasn't reading no fiction. So I started reading different things like Knowledge of Self by Supreme Understanding.
Okay.
How to Hustle and Win, 1 and 2, the Hood Health books. He wrote all of them. He's a 5%er.
And what's his name?
That kind of, Dr. Supreme Understanding.
Okay.
So it kind of, you know, it put me in a, it was giving me a guide. So then I ended up leaving Greenville and I went to Minnesota where I ran to my partner. And he was reading similar books. So I end up, that's how I end up with The Mind is the Master by James Allen, which is comprised of 19 of his books that was written in the late 1800s, the early 1900s.
It's called The Mind is the Master?
Mind is the Master by James Allen.
Okay.
Which ultimately led me to run into another guy because he seen me reading it. He showed me a book, The Prosperity Bible, which is comprised of 19 books. The first book in that book is Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, which is written in, these books was written in the late 1800s, or early 1900s. But to end out my time, those were the only two books I read. I read like other things like the Quran, but that was just to try to look for similarities. Right. Or differences in religions, which I ultimately found out there ain't no really no difference.
Not really.
But that's just how it plays out. But The Mind is the Master, it focused on the universal laws per se, to where basically, you know, the thought is the cause of it all. So we actually are the captain of our own ship, and we make or mar our existence. There's nothing outside of ourselves that's actually basically attracts, expels, whatever you do, which is going to be the cause, there will be an effect for it.
Right.
And there's, I mean, you know, it basically breaks down that, you know, there's no outside entity that's actually controlling that. It's you that controls that, but people don't understand the power that they have. So there is always a way to point the finger. Well,
elsewhere.
Oh, no, Tamonte always, no, Tamonte ain't got nothing to do with why you just fell and broke your leg. You was over there playing on that edge there and you slipped and fell. Exactly. He didn't push you.
Mm-hmm.
But no, that's just, you know, how that be playing out, stuff like that. But yeah, so it's definitely, it's deeper than I think I did when I was in Arkansas. I did read a couple books by Kay Wine, the animal series. But even when I was there, I was reading about Black Indians, about secret societies. My auntie had sent me a couple books. I can't think of the name of them, but they, I mean, it's all very educational stuff. What the church don't want you to know. And so, you know, I was trying to expand my mind a little bit on, but then it's a lot of, like, a lot of stuff that I have read, it ends up in the book, some in some shape, size, or form.
So, yeah, I was about to ask, how do you think that affects your writing style?
Well, it didn't really affect my writing style. It affected how I constructed characters.
Okay.
So, like in Death of a Boy, they will transition into a person that knows better, but still does the opposite.
Okay.
So he understands the law of cause and effect, but he also understands that the life he's been thrust into kind of eliminates him to make the better choice sometimes.
Okay.
But that's part of the dilemma he has to wrestle with on a personal level.
Okay, so it's kind of like you use, because, you know, you say you put, you know, lessons and messages in your books. So it's kind of like some of the things you've taken from those books, you kind of incorporate those lessons and messages into yours through the characters.
Right.
Okay. That's a dope idea.
So, you know what I mean? You can look at, just like I told you, I was reading books on secret societies and stuff like that. So you can kind of, like, I always looked at the world as, especially when I learned that the United States government was a corporation. Well, it actually kind of changed after I seen 13th Amendment. After I seen 13th, it kind of, my outlook on dealing with, you know, what they show you on TV, how things are perceived, you know, through basically what they limit you through vision, it kind of changed. So I actually kind of started putting a lot of that in my books as well.
Okay.
Because especially like you read multiple, you had the special needs division. Who needs a special needs division? Why would the government need a special needs division?
Right.
But the government really do have, it's not the special needs division, but they have some type of division or operation that you will never know about until somebody want to blow the whistle on it down the line. So it's kind of like once you start to read about all these secret societies, and now a lot of people are coming out, we're trying to explore them, talking about they drinking blood and cloning people and all this other crazy shit. But it's still to the extent to where it's still viable because there's always something going on behind the door that you have no idea about. And you probably would never have an idea about. So then you have situations where you have those that, what they call so-called rulers of the world and all this other stuff. But I mean, that's a whole different conversation. But
yeah, that's for another day.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation. But it's kind of like, yeah, so I can play it out differently in a book as opposed to what you're going to see on TV. Actually, you see a lot of it in movies and on TV shows, but it just seemed like entertainment.
Right.
So just like in multiples, you had the special needs group or special needs division that oversaw the elimination of others, or drug dealing,
right,
and or whatever they wanted to have their hand in. And they basically used their bloodline to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. And it didn't make no difference if they killed them or not.
Right.
It's like, you know, but that's just at the time, especially at the moment I was reading 33 Strategies of War and all that other stuff, it just played out like that.
Okay. All right. So what advice would you give to an aspiring author?
Don't follow the trend.
Okay.
Be yourself. Don't let the lack of sales or support discourage you. That might be like the number one thing for a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people automatically assume that just because they're going to publish a book that the people they know them, their family, their friends going to support them. They're going to be the last people.
Man.
All them people want their book for free.
Man, yes.
All them people want their book for free. So,
man, I know that well.
Right. So, every last one of them want their book for free. So, that ain't going to work out for you.
And they think they entitled to their book for free.
Oh, yeah. Where my book?
Exactly.
Where my book? You ain't brought me no book. Yeah, you got all these books. You ain't brought me no book. And you, I need you to sign it to this. This man, listen, give me $15,
and I'll sign whatever.
Man, you gonna charge me?
Yes.
I asked you to take me to the store. You charge me $20 for some gas. I wasn't a week out the penitentiary. I need some gas. What the hell? I just did. All right.
And now you want a free book.
Right, but now you're going to be mad. Now you're mad because I don't call you and ask you for nothing no more.
Yeah,
but I can't. It's a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't heard from you. What? You got your little stuff going on now. I'm like, man, it's too expensive to mess with you. I was better off going to buy my own car and putting $50 to fill my truck up prepared to give you $20 to take me around the corner.
That's crazy, man. But that's true, though. That's true.
Right.
I found out, you know, just with everything, with clothes, everybody want a free T-shirt. And, like,
oh, yeah.
Man.
They ain't going to pay for nothing.
Yeah. So do you have any new projects coming up? If so, what are they?
Yeah, I got, I have The Making of a Man 2. I just got my cover for it last week.
Okay.
So I'm definitely finna, I guess, focus on the date, find a date where I can put it out. I've been, you know, like I said, I've been having this lady promote for me. She's been doing basically the Death of a Boy series, which is good because Death of a Boy series go into The Making of a Man. The Making of a Man is this. The second series after Death of a Boy. So,
Is Death of a Boy literal or is it more metaphorical?
It's in the first book is almost both. Well, actually, it's metaphorical in a sense to where, you know, he's 13, he makes the decision that he can't keep living under the conditions he's living in, which leads him, you know, outside to do what he do.
Right.
And then it's like towards the end of the book is almost be literally because motherfucker trying to slap both of his ears together.
Okay.
So yeah, it's definitely, you know, and it's times throughout the series that hey, you know, death could be at your door.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, when you out there, he out there in the game, you out there playing in the field. So it's a whole lot different than you out there playing with players that they don't really have no gripes about, you know, making you feel they pain. You trying to make them feel yours.
right.
You know,
it's like
trying to create a stronghold
you know, in your area, only for your block and for your hustle. And hey, you ain't the only one who got the same ideas.
Okay. I see that. All right, so where can everybody find you? Like the website, Facebook, or whatever?
Well, all my books is on Amazon.
Okay.
The best thing to do is to type in my name, and all of them will pop up. You can follow me on Amazon. That's basically what I go to now. I mean, for those that don't use Amazon, they on Barnes & Noble. They on every major book distributor online.
That's cool.
I mean, I'm always, I got the people, the lady doing me a promotion. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram. I got a Twitter. I don't think I couldn't tell you the last time I've been on it.
Are you outside or something?
Yeah, I'm in my truck.
Okay, because I can tell the audio changed.
Headed to the shop.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I want you to do one last favor for me. Say this, right. This is Asia LeGrand Blunt, and you're tuned in to Gilla Boys Radio.
This is Asia LeGrand Blunt, and you are tuned in to Gilla Boys Radio.
Hi, my man.
All right.
All right, well, just, hey, man, it was good talking to you. I definitely...
Yeah, man, just give me a call whenever.
I got you, man.
All right, big dog.
All right, have a good day.
All right, you too.
Reading is dope.